in the house of the Lord during the week and praying and seeking God and intercessing for this body of Christ. You know, this morning a lot of the words came out, and I'm sitting there and just meditating on the message I'm going to bring and just how God confirms things in our lives, even the message you're going to bring. You know, I just love to see Michelle. Just about maybe more than over a year ago, we were baptizing her here. And to see her leap and bound and growing in the faith, and to see her to step out what God is calling her to do, it's a beautiful thing, especially for the pastor. It's a beautiful thing when pastors see the church growing. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you know, my experience with mission trips, I remember when Pastor Ron and I always touch on India. I bought a whole suitcase full of M&Ms. Wow. And I would drag this suitcase around full of M&Ms. And the thing weighs. And nobody ever stopped me at the airport. I figured I'm going to stop and search, you know. But no, they didn't stop me. It was M&Ms for the kids. Don't take peanuts. M&Ms to India. They don't like peanuts. For some reason, they didn't like the... they like the chocolate, but not the M&M peanuts. Praise the Lord. I am so grateful that God is doing a new thing in our church. Praise God. I'm always anticipating of the freshness of God, the newness of God, the new manna. I'm always anticipating the Holy Spirit to come and give us new direction. My heart as a pastor was always to do a VBS here at this church. And I see God is sending people out to be trained. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in this community. Amen. Amen. I pray that you all well. Praise God. This week I had a little bug. My two best friends came to two P's, prayer and petto. Praise the Lord. But God, praise God for that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, my message, I'm speaking on God's love. God is love. God is love. You know, the heart says a lot about our hearts. The heart of a man. The heart of a person. And years ago, I went back and tried to research when a baby's in his mother's womb and God is bringing this baby together. What's the first thing he creates? He creates his heart. Because life issues are in the heart of man. And then the brain and everything else comes together. It's not our intellect, but it's our heart that God sees. And desires. And God desires a person's heart in a state of brokenness. Because even David says, "Search my heart, O God, and know me." The heart is the center of a human being. There's a reflection of a person's life and will. In the heart. And this morning I'll be sharing a little bit about two hearts. The heart of a man who doesn't submit to the authority of God, who doesn't come to that place of brokenness. What the Bible said, the heart can be wicked and very deceiving. Be cunning, scheming, deceptive, hypocritical, lacking integrity, greedy, jealousy. As time goes on, they become more arrogant, more callous, more stubborn. They're only committed to themselves. But the destruction way of life leads them to their own destruction. This morning we'll be reading out of Psalm 139. And as I read that and studied that, the psalmist openly confessed their sorrows, their trouble, their anguish, despair. Through their pain, the heart grows. That's a heart before God. They pray with intensity, longing for God as we sang the songs this morning. They trust Him. And they open their hearts to God's examination. That's a heart that's broken before the Lord. They are committed, not wavering from the truth. Their lives are pure and content, and even broken. As their broken hearts are healed by the Lord, they become strong, confident, and vibrant in their lives. At the end, the Lord gives them the desires of their heart and fills them with godly joy and praise. This morning, as I take you through Psalm 139, I want you to open your heart unto the Lord. But I'm going to begin with reading you a scripture. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Just meditate on those words. The Lord your God, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Let us pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we stand before you, a God who is holy, a God who loves and is so full of mercy. Father, I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, let this not be my words, but your words, O God, in the hearing of your people. Father, that we will meditate on who you are in our lives, even reflect and open our hearts, Father, for the things in our lives that you want to bring change. And we ask in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you anoint us this morning. Father, I just thank you for your word. And I repeat it. I said it this morning that the fullness of Christ is in each one of us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the death on that cross that made it possible for each one of us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. See, God's promise are sure. He says he will never leave you or forsake you. And nothing can separate us from his love. From age to age, he says the same. He stays the same. When I am weak, he is strong. When I fall, Jesus is my victory. When I am ashamed, Christ carried my shame. He is not the only one. He will never fail you. He will always be there for you. He was with me before I was born. He will be with me when I die. He will remain with me for all eternity. All of this is sure. All of this assurance of his love, just as sure as the sunset at the end of the day. I know he loves me, but I cannot help loving him in return. Let us go to Psalm 139. I'll be reading this psalm out of the New Living Translation. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down and stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. And some translations say, even if I go to hell, you are there. If I ride in the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me. The night around me becomes as day. But even darkness cannot hide from me, from you. To you, all nights shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully and complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them as the sand. When I am awake, I am with you still. And I know it speaks about the wicked. That's why I shared about the heart earlier. But the psalmist opened his heart to the Lord. Says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxiety. Point out anything in me along the path of everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord. When we open our hearts to God, he searches our hearts And he allows the Holy Spirit to come and speak and convict. If there's anything within me is not pleasing to him, I need to surrender it to him. That we can live a life of pure and holiness, not in a religious way, but honoring to our Father. And I would tell you right now, never question God's love for you. His love is like the sea. For he is unchangeable as his holiness. Were it not for the love of God, none of us will ever have a chance in the future life. The Bible said God is love, and his love for us is everlasting. And I spoke about the ocean. When my wife and I was traveling to the Caribbean, I remember the ship would go out and we'd be in the middle of the ocean, and we would go out in the evening and just look at that vast ocean that God created. And marvel at that ocean. The total beauty of the ocean cannot be understood until it's seen. I remember one time we was in the ocean and I was swimming. I love to swim and I love the ocean. And how warm the water was. And how clear the water was. I could see my feet in the ocean. And the beautiful fishes that God created. Because the world speaks of his greatness and who he is. Marvelous are your works, O God. Marvelous are your works. When I look upon this congregation, I can say, marvelous are your works, because I see it in you and you and you, O God, in each one of you. God's love cannot be understood until you experience his love. God's love cannot be understood until you possess his love in your life. No one can fully describe the wonderful love of God until they experience it for themselves. In the words of the prophet Jeremiah, he writes in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, the loving kindness draws to him. Each one of us has experiences that. The loving kindness of the Lord is the one who draws you to himself. The loving kindness of the Lord who draws Saul of Tarsus on the road of Damascus to himself. It was God's love for Paul. It wasn't Paul's intellect or his heart, because he was a religious man. He thought he was a righteous man. He thought he was doing the right thing for the glory of the Lord to eliminate the new Christians. Paul was there when Stephen was stoned, and he stood there and watched the stoning. And Peter and Stephen said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they do. And it says like his face was like an angel looking into heaven. I believe Stephen saw the throne room of God in all his glory. And said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what to do. That is the love of God. Because Stephen experienced that love for himself. He possessed it for himself. And church, we need to experience that love of Christ for ourselves. We need to possess it in our own personal lives for ourselves. That we too, in that place where Stephen can say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. The word compassion is two Latin words meaning to suffer with. God all-consuming love for mankind. What best demonstration that was shown to us but God's love upon that cross. His compassion was embodied in Christ Jesus, reconciled the world to himself. Christ possessed the love of his Father for all humanity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle Paul speaks of God as one who is rich in mercy. See, Paul possessed the love of Christ in his life. He experienced it himself. What great love which he has loved us, Paul says. It was the love of God that sent Jesus to that cross. You see, I want you to take you back in the beginning, what Mary touched on this morning. God's love did not begin at Calvary. No. I want to take you back to the beginning of Genesis. I want to take you back before the world began, before the world was baptized with the first light, the first blade of tender grass peeked out. God is love. I want to turn you to the pages, the unwritten pages of the Word of God of the book of Genesis chapter 1. I want to bring you before chapter 1s were ever written. Before God spoke this earth into existence. When the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, silent darkness, outer space formed a vast gulf between the brilliance of God's throne room and the dark vacuum where the presence, our presence solar system is now. I want to bring you back. Before even God spoke a word into this earth and said, let it be light. It was the throne room of God in all his brilliance, looking down before he even spoke a word. It was his love at that moment because he creates out of love. He doesn't create that he needs a relationship with humanity. He created humanity out of his love. And I can see, just picture this, and you can see before God spoke a word unto the earth and said, let it be light. Seeing God in all his glory, the cherubim and the angels covering their faces with their wings at all who God is. And all reverence toward him, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the Bible says, and the whole earth is full of his glory. I want to take you back before the pages. In that place of the throne room of God, what was happening? Glory, holy, holy, holy. The Bible says, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Before he spoke a word. let it be light. In all his glory, in all his holiness, we begin to hear in our ears the majesty of his love for us. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. All that was going on in the heavenly places before God spoke a word. I want you to think of that. It was love that enabled Christ to become poor, that we may be made rich. It was love, divine love, that made him endure the cross, despising the shame. It was the love that made him endure the accusations of the sinners against himself that restrained him, who falsely accused him of blasphemy and was led to Golgotha to die with common thief. It was love that allowed him to do that for all humanity. And I spoke about the two hearts. It was two thieves nailed to the cross with him, one on each side. And we can see the heart of one man, callous, hardened. If you are Christ, save yourself and save us. But on the other cross, we see a heart of brokenness and repentance. Remember me when you come in all your glory. The two hearts that the Bible speaks about. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. It was nothing but love that kept him from calling 12 legions of angels to come to his defense. It was nothing but love. It was love that caused him, after every known torture device by sinful man was heaped upon him, when he said in a loud voice, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. It was love. Love. His love even before the foundation of the world. See, many people today misunderstand God's love. It doesn't mean that everything is sweet, beautiful, and happy. And many people believe this. That God's love cannot possibly allow punishment for sin. It adds out of love. Because he's a holy God. God's holiness demands that sin will be punished. But God loves to provide a plan for redemption and salvation for sinful men and women. It's God's love that provided the cross of Jesus Christ by which we can come for forgiveness and cleansing. It is God's love that opened that veil for each one of us to enter in. It is his love for each one of us. I talked about the two hearts. One heart allows to come in and allows and receive forgiveness and cleansing of their soul. But the other heart is callous, sinful, arrogant. Who can describe the measure of God's love? Who can describe it? And I mentioned the sea. As I stood over that balcony, I saw this vast sea. His love is like that. It's endless. His love is endless. I love you with an everlasting love, he says. The Bible is a revelation of the fact that God is love. In 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8, it reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love." And everyone who is born of God knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You see, we preach justice, and justice is tempered with love. We preach righteousness, and righteousness is founded on love. We preach atonement, and atonement is planned by love, provided by love, given by love, and finished by love. We preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We preach the miracle of love. We preach the return of Christ. We preach the fulfillment of that love. Love is something that we choose, that he chooses to give. Love is something that he chooses to give and do. It's the very essence of who he is. God is love. In this world today, in this culture we live in, God love is not like the love expressed by many in the culture today. I see a love of convenience, a love of ego. That is, I love you as long as you add value to my life and you please me. When that ceases, so my love ceases for you. For many, love is conditional. The condition may vary depending on relationship, but there's still condition to be met in order to earn my love. But God is saying, my love is unconditional. My love will never fail you. My love will endure forever. God is love. He loves you with an everlasting love. And I pray that each one of us will open our hearts to experience his love, to possess his love as the body of Christ, that we can be the Paul and the Stephens, the Peter and the Luke and Mary and Joseph. Out of love, out of love. He loves you with an everlasting love. And God is love. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. This morning, as I was praying, the Lord said to me, "Be still and know that I am God." I just sat still. He's going to be assaulted. It is he. His words that comes to you. His children. Because he loves his children. you're going through anything in your life, be still and know that I am God. He's there for you. He's there for you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you even for what you spoke, before you spoke a word into the earth existence. Hallelujah. We can see the brilliance of your holiness, of who you are, your love in that place, Father. In your throne room, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal those things to us, your children. And Father, I pray that each one of us would just experience your love and possess your love. That we will walk in love. As even you are love and you walked in it, Lord. I thank you for your love that held you upon that cross for each one of us, oh God. That beautiful love for humanity. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for the love that you bestow upon us each day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for making us, Lord. That you took the time to make us. And your word says in a marvelous way. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise God.